Well, this is episode 11 of season 6, the Leadership Lessons Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Williams, excited to bring you more content to encourage and equip you in the calling that God has for you. Today's episode is going to be awesome. We have two leadership lessons with good friends that I just met this year. I was recently on a Footsteps of Apostle Paul tour with about 35 to 40 pastors, where we went to Greece, we went to Turkey, and was able to meet these brothers from Calvary Chapel, Port St. Lucie. Will Price, Matt Misiano, they're going to share two leadership lessons with us today. And I thought it would just be an awesome thing to sort of batch these two leadership lessons together with guys that are killing it, that are serving the Lord and doing great things. Will will be first up on us. He's the executive pastor, right-hand guy of the lead pastor there, Mike Wiggins. Mike is actually a part of my cohort group that I run monthly to be able to pour into pastors, to connect, to learn from one another. We share a video, we talk, and we'd love to start those type of groups over Zoom for you as well through EE Leaders. I'd love to hear what your thoughts would be. Would you want to join a cohort, maybe specifically just a group of 10 guys that are specifically missionaries, or 10 guys that are associate pastors, 10 guys that are planning churches, maybe years, 10 years plus experience connecting one another? This is what we love in this ministry, to connect one another, to learn from one another. And this church has many leaders. I was recently there being able to teach at their all staff meeting. I do these things quarterly, and I was guest speaking there, and I said, listen, I don't want to just pour into you. I want you to pour into me. And so I was able to spend some time with Will and with Matt, and just ask to bring my camera, and they did a great job pouring in some wisdom that I wanted to share with you. And so first we'll have Will Price share his leadership lesson, just the importance of working not harder, but smarter, being efficient, being effective and fruitful for the ministry. One thing that I do for that, I'm reevaluating my schedule right now, and I'm actually doing a lot of batching. I don't know if you know what batching is, but basically on Fridays, my leadership day, on mornings, my study time, afternoons, meetings, once a month I have this, once a month that. It's basically putting in a big block of time and being concentrated on certain subjects or areas. Rather than having the alarm go off on your email 5 times a day, check your email for 30 minutes at the end of the day or the beginning of the day to set your pace. And so planning, scheduling, being efficient, super important. And wouldn't it be like Will to share something like that, as he's an executive pastor and he has so many responsibilities. But listen, not only do we want to be effective, but we want to be efficient as well, to get a lot of more stuff done. And when we plan, when we're able to work smarter, not harder, it actually can help us to be able to serve God's kingdom in greater ways. And so I even batch sometimes recording these episodes or recording these things. And that's what I did when I went up to Port St. Lucie, only about an hour away from where I live, but I was able to have an all-staff meeting, have a couple of other meetings, teach there, record them, and I spent the whole day, and now there's all this content. So I thought, hey, since I did batch recording, why don't I send out both of those leadership lessons at the same time? So this is Will Price with his first leadership lesson, and then I'll introduce you the next leader and his role at the church as well.
Hey, my name is Will Price. I'm the executive pastor of Calvary Chapel in Port St. Lucie. And today I am privileged to delve into a topic that I think is not only pertinent to us as leaders, but something that's really deeply rooted in the timeless wisdom that we find in Scripture. And it's this idea that we should work smarter, not harder. And I want to begin by reflecting on the words of King Solomon from the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 5, where he says this, that the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. I'll say it again. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. What I think we find here is this profound truth sort of encapsulated in just a few words, a truth that really honestly speaks volumes about the significance of working with intentionality and wisdom. And I think in our modern society, we tend to glorify busyness. I think in our day and age, we tend to glorify this idea that working harder somehow sort of equates to success. But here's what I would say. I would say that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to a different standard, okay? We're called to a standard that prioritizes stewardship of our time. We're called to a standard that requires discernment for how we use our time. And yes, pursue excellence, and yes, work hard, but I think we're called to work smarter, not harder. You know, it's not about working ourselves to exhaustion, right? Instead, it's about aligning our efforts to God's purposes and working diligently with wisdom and with discernment. And I want us to consider the example of Nehemiah, okay? This guy was a faithful servant of God who embarked on a monumental task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now, we all know Nehemiah faced seemingly insurmountable odds and challenges. But here's what we know about Nehemiah. He did not approach rebuilding the wall with reckless abandon. We also know that he didn't approach building the wall by sort of, you know, rolling his sleeves up and getting in there and working at it on his own. Instead, what did he do? He employed strategic planning, delegation, and he was resourceful, right? What did he do? He divided the work among different groups. He stationed guards to protect against adversaries. He motivated people with clear vision and goals. And it was through his wise and purposeful leadership that he and his companions were able to accomplish, again, this seemingly impossible task of rebuilding the wall. Get this, in just 52 days. And to me, that's a testament of the power of working smarter, not harder. But what does that mean for us today, right? How can we apply this principle of wisdom and discernment to our lives, to our work, and even perhaps our relationships? Well, first and foremost, I would say this. I think we need to be intentional about setting clear goals and priorities. Okay, as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13-14, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. I press on toward the goal. That's important. To do what? To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, we know in the context of this verse, Paul is talking about salvation and heaven and this incredible goal and prize of heaven, right? But I think there's an application here that we can draw from it, and that is this, that we need clear vision for where we're going. We need goals to strive for in order to achieve whatever it is that we're doing. And we need to allow that vision and those goals to sort of guide our actions. And then I would say this, that not only do we need to set clear goals and priorities, but we also need to be intentional about how we allocate our time and energy. I think this is so important. I'm going to say that again. We need to be intentional about how we allocate our time and our energy. Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul says this. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I'm going to read that again because it's so good. Paul said this, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And how do we do that? We make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Listen, we live in a world filled with distractions and demands. But as Christians, I think we're called to be wise stewards of our time and to focus on activities that align with our goals and our values. So what are we doing? We're working smarter, not harder. How do we do that? Well, we set clear goals, right? We have a vision for what we're doing, and we allocate our time and our energy with wisdom. And then I would say this, as Proverbs 15:22 tells us, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And so look, none of us have all of the answers, okay? And there's great wisdom in seeking the input from others who may have different perspectives and insights than us. And so what do? Well, we need to be willing to seek out wise counsel and collaborate with others. And then finally, I would say this. We need to remember that our ultimate purpose in everything that we do is to honor and glorify God. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says this. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So look, our work is not just for ourselves. It's also not for our earthly rewards or for our pleasure. No, it's ultimately for the advancement of God's kingdom and the fulfillment of his purpose on earth. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about this idea of working smarter, not harder. And how are we going to do that? We're going to set clear goals, and we're going to, you know, have a strong vision, right? Not only that, we're going to allocate our time and our energy well. Not only that, we're going to seek out wise counsel and bring people around us to collaborate. And then finally, we're going to remember that everything we're doing is for the glory of God. And so I hope that encourages you today. I hope that you embrace this timeless wisdom from Scripture and that you would commit yourself to working smarter, not harder. Remember, set clear goals. Be intentional with your time and resources. Seek wise counsel, and above all, seek to honor and glorify God in all that you do.
Well, Will is such a great guy. What some great wisdom that he has for us. Work smarter, not harder. I thought a great example would be to batch these two leadership lessons. Yes, I could spread it out and give you this and give you that. But you know what? I love being able to give you great content from great leaders. And one of the things that I'm actually going to be doing is in a couple of weeks, about a month when this is releasing, is having a leadership one-day conference here in South Florida at the church that I'm the lead pastor at, Calvary Chapel of the Palm Beaches. And I'm going to be hosting, having six guys, pastors, missionaries, church planters come in and share lessons learned from the Apostle Paul. One of those speakers is going to be the next guy coming up, Matt Misiano. He serves as the missions pastor, care pastor at Calvary Chapel Port St. Lucie, has been such a great, incredible support. And man, we joked around, we connected, me, him, and Will, not only in Greece, and in Turkey when we were looking at these sites from the Apostle Paul, but even coming back in South Florida, it's been so awesome to build relationship. And so if you want some relationships, some encouragement to grow in your leadership, we're going to have that one-day conference. It's only $25. It includes a little Chick-fil-A lunch. Very simple, but gathering other leaders, especially like-minded leaders, church planters, missionaries, people that want to expand God's kingdom for his glory, it could be so refreshing for you. So it's a 9-to-3 conference with other church leaders, and you don't have to be a lead pastor or church planner. It's just learning leadership lessons from these guys, and you could be serving at your church, and if you're a local in the area, man, take the drive, come have fellowship with us, and let's learn from one another. And so that's what I was able to do when I was at Calvary Chapel Port St. Lucie, not only speaking a lesson into their staff, but having their staff speak into us so I could share with you. Shout out to my wife. I'm wearing her shirt that she gave me, iron sharpens iron. That's a proverb, and I love that because as we come together and we collaborate, we can get so much more done. And so, man, I'm trying to apply Will's principles right now to my life to work smarter and not harder. And so this is Matt Misiano's leadership lesson. He has served not only in the church world and a right-hand guy, an executive in ministry and those type of things, but he served in the military for many years. And I just asked him, bro, man, just give me some lessons of your experience with the military and what we could learn from that. Because I think it's super important. Sometimes the military, they're very efficient. They submit and command, and they don't ask questions sometimes because they know an order and they want to be very efficient and being able to have order and efficiency and those type of things when you're in the battlefield is super important. I think there was a lot of lessons that are just gold that Matt shared, because the reality is we're not in a playground. We're in a war ground. We're in a fight, and we're taking this thing seriously. Yes, serving the Lord is full of joy and it's amazing. There's a lot of smiling, but there's a lot of heartache. I was just with Matt. He was speaking into us and our elders at a dinner, and I just invited him to speak into our elders' lives because he knows the situation. We've been praying together for this church, Calvary Chapel of the Palm Beaches, where I'm taking this new lead. He came to the installation service. So behind the scenes, he's just been helping me, encouraging me, praying for me. And man, I asked him to just share, and he was just sharing these military insights, and it was so encouraging, so amazing, so blessed by that. And so I wanted to pass this stuff on to you. I thought this would be awesome to do, and just give a huge shout out to all the staff and all the team at Calvary Chapel of Port St. Lucie. It was so awesome spending time with you guys, to be able to grow and to learn from you all. Such a blessing, and just love and love what God is doing there at that church, and love Will and Matt to be able to walk with those guys. And shout out to Mike, of course, Pastor Mike Wiggins. So God bless you guys. And here is Matt sharing with us some leadership lessons from his time in military and serving. I know you're going to enjoy it.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Messiano. I am the Reach and Operations Pastor at Calvary Port St. Lucie. We're at Calvary Chapel. And Reach is local and global missions, as well as care. And operations is basically the function of our church and school when it comes to facilities and information technology. So I love what I get to do. And I'm so excited to share with you something that I experienced at the age of 20. I enlisted in the United States Army, where I fell in love with the military and my service to my country. It was an incredible alarm going off. It was an incredible experience. And in the military, we had seven values. And that values make up the acronym leadership. Leadership is a big deal in the military. And so leadership, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And so for over a decade, I applied these leadership principles into my life and my daily activity as I led troops locally, globally, in combat, which was really, really, really amazing. And when you apply these principles, it makes for the most effective service member that you can be. And so the Army saw the values as a way of life. It was a part of our DNA, and it was something that we needed to learn. And so after about a decade of turning my back on the Lord, I came back to the Lord after getting out of the Army. And I found myself broken and just getting plugged in at a local church and just started serving, cleaning toilets. And then progressively over time, God had this plan, which is mind-blowing. And that plan was to restore and renew this old broken soldier. And so all these principles that have been instilled in me now can be easily translated into Christianity and how we lead as leaders. And so I just want to briefly share with all of you leadership, again, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage, so that you can apply these principles, the acronym leadership, minus a few vowels, into your leadership style, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your church, your marriage, or even perhaps a business, depending on what capacity you find yourself using these resources. And so right out the gate, loyalty. Loyalty, by definition, I've got my little notes here that I'm going to read from, is often associated with faithfulness to God and his teachings. In Christianity, we view it that way. Loyalty is being faithful to God's word and to being faithful to his teachings. Now, it extends to being faithful to one's beliefs, their principles, and their commitments. As a soldier, I pledge my allegiance to the country. Christians, we're called to pledge our allegiance to God. And so being a soldier, pledging my allegiance to the country required sacrifice. It required time. It required commitment. It required to be loyal. Loyalty was key in being a successful soldier. Now transitioning to Christianity, being loyal to God is critical so that we can win the warfare that we are faced as followers of Jesus. And so I saw this comparison between being a soldier, the importance of loyalty. Now, as a pastor, the importance of loyalty. As a dad, the importance of loyalty. As a husband, the importance of loyalty. As a friend, the importance of loyalty. And having my loyalty, my commitment to God's word, and applying God's word and his principle into my lives was going to make me the most effective Christian soldier that I could be. Now, loyalty was key in combat. You had to be loyal to one another. You had to be loyal to the organization, to the commitment, because your life depended on it. And if you weren't loyal, it could be problematic. And it was proven time and time again, the Army has a place called CALL, and it's the Center for Army Lessons Learned. Individuals would make mistakes and they would do things, and sometimes it was loyalty driven, where there was a compromise in a loyalty situation in a unit, and people lost their lives. And so as I think about communication loyalty, it involved a interpreter. And the interpreter was given information a little bit too much, and he wasn't loyal to that team. And so he actually reported the intel back to other people, and people lost their lives. Loyalty is key. It was key as a service member, and I believe it's key as a follower of Jesus. It's loyal, being loyal to your leader, being loyal to your peer, being loyal to your subordinate, being loyal to your wife, being loyal to your kids. Loyalty is a principle that is biblical. And I see that as the first pillar in leadership. We have to be loyal. I was loyal to my country. Now I'm loyal to Jesus. I'm loyal to his word. And then when we're loyal to his word, he does something supernatural within us, equipping us, making us able to do all things. And so it was critical for combat, and it's critical for life. And so we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And that statement is true. I'm a war veteran. I've seen war. And it's the unseen war that you and I are faced with on a daily. And so being loyal is key to God's word, to your spouse, to your kids, to your community, to your church, to each other. Be loyal. Duty. In the military context, it involves fulfilling your obligation and your responsibilities. Again, duty in the military is fulfilling your obligations and your responsibilities. As followers of Jesus, we have responsibilities. We have duties that we need to live out to ourselves in our relationship with the Lord, to others. We have to live out these responsibilities with our marriage, our friends, our ministry, our pastors, whoever it might be, senior, peer, and subordinate alike. We have a duty, and it requires applying biblical principles to our lives, applying Christian moral ethics into our lives. It was key as a service member to live out my duty, to follow the principles, to follow the regulations and the rules, to be the most effective service member that I could be. You see, the government knew that if you can get a service member to be loyal and to live out his duty, we could win wars. And so the same concept gets translated into Christianity. And in that, we apply biblical principles, we apply morality, and then we spread the message of God's love to others. We're compassionate, and we serve others with humility and kindness. Serving others with humility and kindness is our duty as followers of Jesus. And it was my duty as a service member to fulfill my obligation. My biblical obligation is to love God and love people. And that is your duty as a follower of Jesus. You and I are required and called to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is our duty. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Jesus was very clear. In your duty, your obligations, your commitments, you follow through. And we as followers of Jesus need to meditate on his word. That is our commitment. We make that commitment to God. And then he shapes and transforms us into the soldier that he's called us to be for his kingdom. Next, respect. Now, respect is a fundamental both in military training as well as Christianity. Soldiers are taught to respect the chain of command, your fellow soldiers, and civilians. In Christianity, respect encompasses treating others with dignity, regardless of differences, and recognizing the inherent worth of every individual as a creation of God. Now, in the military, we had one uniform. It wasn't Louis Vuitton, it wasn't Gucci, it wasn't Prada, it wasn't Walmart. It wasn't whatever brand name that you can think of. It was one uniform, it was one unit. Everybody was equal. It didn't matter what country you came from as you became an American citizen, what state you were from, what your ethnic background was, what your religious belief system was. In the military, we respected one another. Now, in Christianity, we respect one another. We love one another. We listen to one another. It's critical in good leadership to apply respect. And not only is that respect translated to our seniors, but it's also to our peers. It's also to our subordinates. Doesn't matter if it's your leader, doesn't matter if it's someone who follows you, it doesn't matter if it's somebody you're pioneering ministry with. Respect should go up and down and across. It's just a beautiful picture of what Jesus did. He loved all people. And we are called to respect one another. Respect brought honor. Respect brought pride. It brought all types of different things in the military. We really didn't have the option to do anything other than respect our seniors in the military. Now in Christianity, it is critical that we respect one another and we're compassionate and filled with humility. You know, when you come into a relationship with the Lord, He transforms you and we become really respectable towards others. We have a heart for the community. And that's what we're called to do. Now, respect, by the way, sometimes even requires that we are respectful of the difficult people that we interact with. It doesn't just end at seniors, peers, and subordinates alike. It also is extended to challenging people. And I don't know about you and your context and what you go through, but sometimes we navigate through challenging dialogue. We navigate through challenges. We have issues that we deal with when it comes to people. There's problems. There's all types of areas that we can look into and say, man, this person's really, really, really hard to deal with. And that's when we pray and ask the Lord to help us to respect this image bearer. God created people. They're His image bearers. And so we need to respect one another as we navigate through life. And so the Army taught loyalty, duty, and respect. In Christianity, we see the importance of being loyal, living out our duty as followers of Jesus, and respecting one another. Now, selfless service is our fourth out of our leadership acronym. And so selfless service is at the core of both military service and Christian teaching. You see, soldiers are called to put the welfare of their country and their fellow soldiers above their own interests. Sounds like Christianity, doesn't it? Christians are called to serve others sacrificially, following the example of Jesus Christ, who washed the feet of His disciples and ultimately gave His life for humanity. Now, this is a great part for me as I reflect back at selfless service. We always look out for the welfare of others. That was our job. We, whether we were in war or we were not at war, our job was to look out for the interests of others. In the military, we would always do mission, men, and then myself. In Christianity, it's Jesus, others, and then you. And so when we are doing what we're doing, we think about Jesus, I mean, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming down, humbling Himself, putting human nature on His eternal nature, coming down and serving His disciples. Washing the feet of His disciples. So think about that. Selfless service translated in the military was serving your people. It was doing for others, regardless of who they were and where they came from. And Jesus modeled that by washing feet. And so I got to ask you, what does that look like in your ministry or in your life or in your workplace? Are you washing others' feet? That selfless service. Here He is. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's washing His disciples' feet. What a beautiful reminder for me, for you, for us, as we navigate through ministry. And it goes back to that respect point. Even the difficult people, sometimes we just wash their feet. And that love brings forth change. And so we see loyalty as key in the military, duty, respect, selfless service. This is critical, even in Christianity, being loyal. Living out our lives dutifully when it comes to the Word of God, respecting one another, selflessly serving one another, looking out for the other's interest. You know, one thing unique about the military while I was in, I always saw Bible verses. I was in a battalion called Follow Me. I was in a battalion called Send Me. Here I am, send me. And I think as soldiers of Christ, that's our attitude. We navigate through our journey and we say, Lord, here I am. Have Your way with me. Selflessly serving one another, washing the feet of those that God puts in your path. Honor. Honor in the military is about integrity, honesty, and moral character. It involves doing what is right when no one is looking. Doing what is right when no one is looking. In Christianity, honor is closely tied to living a life of righteousness and moral uprightness. reflecting the character of God. This includes being truthful, just, and compassionate in all of our interactions. Honor was important. We needed to be honest in all of our interactions. When I was in a war, we had rules that we had to follow. I was at an enemy prisoner of war camp, and I was sitting in an area where there were high-value targets, and a lot of them, they weren't there for good reasons. And I actually got to read their reports and know who they hurt and the suffering that they caused. I didn't want to be around them. They were just evil people, and they did evil things, and they needed Jesus. At that time, I wasn't walking with the Lord, but I had to submit to honor. I had to do what was right when no one was looking, and Christianity calls for that. I looked at that as a service member in some of the most harshest conditions where I had to honor what I committed to do as a service member, and that was to treat people fairly, even if those people did wrong. Man, it sounds a lot like what Jesus did for mankind. And so as a leader, it is so key that we honor. We live a life of honor, especially in church leadership. We have to live above board in all that we do. In our marriages, as we parent, we need to honor. We need to honor, live a life full of honor, doing what is right when no one is looking. And I always remind myself, maybe nobody can see, but God sees everything. And so keep that in the forefront of your brain as you're living out loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor. Live a life of honor. By the way, honor God and he'll honor you. I've seen it time and time again. People that I've known who were faithful to honor the Lord, even in the valley, that God carried them through to something greater than they had ever imagined. And that's just the nature of our God. Sometimes to get to the mountaintop, you have to go around the steep edge of a cliff. And when you do that, you can only do that alone, but you're never alone because God is with you. Integrity in our values. Integrity is about having strong moral principles, adhering to them consistently. In the military, integrity is vital for building trust and credibility. Similarly, Christians are called to live with integrity, aligning their actions with their beliefs, being honest and transparent in all that we do. Integrity. Like doing what's right, honoring the Lord, being honest. We were required as service members, as leaders, to live a life of integrity. Publicly, so many people can see our lives. We're on the platform, we're in the kids ministry, we're at a new church plant, we're throwing in sweat equity with tear down and set up, and sometimes we're doing the behind the scenes things and nobody sees. You have to be honest. And here's what's beautiful about that. Not to say that you can't be dishonest when you're doing that, but it's this idea that you're doing it as you're doing it unto the Lord, like Colossians commands us. Like everything you do with your whole heart as if you're working for the Lord and not for man. And it doesn't matter if you're cleaning toilets, you're changing out trash, and no one can see. It's about honoring the Lord who sees all. And so when we live out a life of integrity and we're honest, even when we can maybe never get caught, God sees. And so it's critical that we always have integrity at the forefront of who we are as followers of Jesus. Integrity was key in the military. It was a value so much recognized that it was part of the principles of leadership in the military. Being honest, living that life of trust and credibility. You see, when my soldiers trusted me, they followed me. They followed me and they followed my lead because I led them into combat. I brought them into the threat and they followed me without hesitation because they trusted me. Integrity, building trust on your team is key. Transition from the military to Christianity, where we're at now, it's important that your team trusts you. It's important that you develop that in your team so that you can move forward and make the name of Jesus great. I was on a trip recently. I saw a young man. He had this shirt. He said that all he wants to do is make the name of Jesus great, die, and be forgotten. And I thought, man, I love that shirt. I don't know who quoted it. Somebody said it. Somebody important who died a long time ago. I remember that's what he told me. But isn't that what it's all about? About making the name of Jesus great? And when we compromise our integrity, we compromise making the name of Jesus great. If God's given you a platform to make a difference, don't compromise your integrity. We have to be honest. Last point, personal courage. Personal courage is the ability to overcome fear and adversity in the face of danger. Soldiers demonstrate courage on the battlefield and in everyday challenges. In Christianity, courage is needed to stand up for what is right, even in the face of opposition or persecution. It involves trusting in God's strength and guidance to overcome obstacles and stay true to one's belief. Now, as a service member, I was responsible to make sure that I was going to run to the threat and that I was fit to do so. And fear had no place in the front lines. In other words, knowing that I was going into hostile territory. In the military, they're called S2 reports, and we would receive these reports. And these S2 reports would basically say, at this time, at this location, this bomb detonated, or this suicide bomber was present, or this sniper was present. These are the streets that I had to lead team. I had to lead teams into. And so I would get the report, and then we'd go out on mission. And sometimes it was night ops with night vision devices. We're looking for high-value target searches. You got to face it in the military. It's not an option. And if you translate that to Christianity, you think about the spiritual warfare that you and I are faced with. It's war. Satan hates you, and he hates what you're doing. And again, our fight is not against flesh and blood. I'm a war veteran, and I've seen combat, and I've been at the front lines, and I've seen the after effects of combat. Spiritual warfare, man, I don't even can't even begin to imagine the complexity of it. We have to have personal courage, and we find that by the power of the Lord. Not by our might, not by our power, but by the Spirit, Zechariah 4:6. We have to depend on the Holy Spirit to give us the personal courage to face all the challenges that ministry brings. Ministry, marriage, mentorship, parenting, business, all these different extensions of our lives can put us into circumstances where we have to face adversity. The only way to succeed and to do the right thing is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage are the army values of leadership translated into Christianity. Very simply put, that this is a way in which we can live to honor the Lord and to finish well. I had to trust God when I faced obstacles. War is chaos. Spiritual warfare, I imagine, to be honest, I can't imagine, but I would, if I could, imagine that it'd be 100 times worse than 1 minute on the battlefield in Iraq. And it is critical that as leaders, that we live the life that God's called us to live. And so I look at the army values, and they very much align with Christian principles and our ethics and our morality. And one of the most valuable lessons that I learned is that you give your all. And the way in which you do that is you just live out Colossians 3:23. That whatever you do with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord and not for man. And when you apply these army principles, when you apply these to your staff or to your marriage or to your children or even to your congregation, all these steps in leadership are critical in order to make you fit for what life throws your way. And so combat wasn't easy, and life can be hard. And so why not take the values of the army, put them in your own words, and apply loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage into who you are under the biblical authority that God has given you so that you can be the best version that God has designed you to be. I believe wholeheartedly that what I learned applied has equipped me to be able to help others unpack the gift that God has put in each one of us. So thank you for letting me share. I'm excited for the future. And just a little snippet from my life. Love you guys.
Well, hey, even though we didn't have an interview, one piece of advice video in this episode, I wanted to batch these things, give a special highlight and shout out to Calvary Chapel, Port St. Lucie, because they are awesome. Pastor Mike Wiggins, I respect you so much. It's so cool to see how God is working and moving there in your area, in that local church, and to be able to take time to pour into me that one day, super special. But don't forget, we have more content behind the scenes. If you want to interview, there are multiple interviews on our Patreon page. So go ahead and join the community, support the ministry, jump on board, join our Patreon page for as little as $9.99 a month, and you can get so much more content, especially interview style. And so, man, thanks guys so much for checking us out, listening to this leadership lesson. You made it till the end. This was episode 11 of season 6, and we're going to come back with you in 2 weeks. Every other week, we like to try to release an episode, and thanks so much. We're praying for you for everything that God is calling you to do, because remember, there's nothing better than doing what God has called you to do, and glad we can support you in that. God bless you guys, praying for you, and we'll catch you on the next episode.